They need some people there with them and people to count on. Also, that's where our sign-up sheet is for the catfish dinner, for the fundraiser. And I've been asked, we have a couple of folks that said, you know, I'd sign up and I would come, but I am just not a catfish eater. Well, if that's you, we'll make you some, we'll fry you up some chicken strips and just right on there for chicken strips. And now, don't go back and change your name if you're a catfish person, but just sign up, put chicken strips, because we can make more money for the kids off of catfish. So we'll just be real honest about it. But if you would like to do that, let us know there. So, boy, it's so good to see you. I've got something I want to show you this morning, if I can make this work. You know, we've been talking in Colossians, if I can make this work here, I don't know if I can or not. We've been talking in the book of Colossians about what not to wear. You remember that? Is this going to show up? There it is, over there. About what not to wear. I don't know, y'all can't see it over here. I'll move it around. You know, we talked about what not to wear, about dead men's clothes. I don't know, Murray's working at the fire department, and I understand this is his bed sheets at the fire department. For those of you over here that can't see this, let me change this, the projectors. Let's see here. I'll move it around so you can see it. Boy, James, I have to just tout James has fixed me up. I can control all of this stuff if I can just learn how to do it. Smartphones are amazing when you know what you're doing. Now it should pop up over. I can only do one at a time. I'll probably mess them all up. For those of you over here, you get to see it. There you go. This is Murray. I just love his little mermaid stuff. But, you know, we've been talking about what not to wear and how there were five things that we were to take off that had to do with sexual sins, and then they were dead men's clothes, and then there were five things that we were to another five things that had to do with immorality that we were to get rid of. And now you should have control of that back there, guys, I think. Or did I just mess you all up good? I might have just done a number on you. But anyway, there's five things that you were to get rid of: sexual immorality and sexual sins. Then we talked about five things that had to do with attitudes that we're to get rid of, that had to do with those things that were called dead men's clothes. And then we saw five things that we're to put on: compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience. And all of those push us as we are. These are things internal. These are individual things that we're to put on that help guide us to love one another. They're marks of a believer. And we literally looked at how that we're to wrap that with love. Love's that belt that holds it all on as we love one another. And that's the picture of that. Then we get to verses 15, 16, and 17 of Colossians chapter 3. And we see these expressions of love that are all, you know, these were all outward focused. We were outward focused as we're showing kindness, outward focused to others as we're showing humility and meekness and patience and love. That's all outward. But then when you get to verses 15, 16, and 17, there's some inward things, some attitudes of our heart that we're to have that guides us to be able to do those outward expressions of love. And verse 15 begins with, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. And then verse 16, let the word of Christ richly dwell in you. And then you get to verse 17, and it speaks about having Christ be the greatest desire of your heart. And all three of these things need to be manifest to be able to exhibit that love for one another. And so they're an inward posture of your heart. But this morning, we're just going to look at one, and that's in verse 15. So this morning, we're just going to focus there, and then we're going to partake in the Lord's Supper, and then you're going to get out of here before the Methodists do, okay? And so you get to go eat. But let's read together verse 15 together. It says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be what? Thankful. Now, what's the very first word of this verse? Let. Let. The opening word, it's the word let, is a position of surrender. It's saying, I surrender for me to have peace, for me to have the peace of Christ to rule in my heart, I have to surrender. I have to allow that to take place. That's what this is saying. I have to surrender me. I have to surrender my life. I have to surrender all of this for this to share. And then you go on from there, and you get to the peace of Christ. And so here's an interesting thought. It's the peace of Christ. It's not the peace with Christ. Peace with Christ happened whenever you gave your life to Jesus, whenever you received Him as your Lord and Savior, and that moment you had peace with Christ, and you're not afraid of Him anymore. You're looking forward to seeing Him. That fear is gone, and it's not peace from Christ. It's not like He's giving you a gift. That's not what we're talking about. But it's the peace of Christ, and that could be none other than Jesus Himself. He says, I give you myself. That's what He's doing. That's the virtue of this. Now listen to these words. Turn to John 14, verse 27, and you'll see this. John 14, verse 27. He says there, peace I leave with who? You. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to who?
You.
Not as the world gives, do I give you. Jesus said this during the last night of His earthly ministry. He said this to His disciples. They were very afraid. And He said, hey guys, don't be afraid, because I'm giving you peace. I'm giving you this peace. I'm leaving it with you. And what was He speaking of? He's talking about the Holy Spirit that He's leaving with Him, the Holy Spirit that was to come. And He says, hey, I am giving you myself. And when we receive Christ as our Savior, we have the Holy Spirit, right? We have Him. We're not an orphan. He says, I'm sending you this Comforter. So what He's talking about in this chapter in John 14, as well as Colossians chapter 3, is the presence of Jesus that is living in us. We have His peace. It's available. So this morning, we need to let His peace rule in us. It's we have Him, we have it, and there'll never be a day in your life that His peace is not accessible to you. Now, peace, we have to understand, is not the absence of conflict. You know, a lot of people think, well, maybe there'll be one day where I'll have peace and there won't be anything to worry about. Wrong. I just want to ask you a question. Do you think there'll ever be a day in your life that you won't have anything to worry about? No. If you've got kids, if you've got a job, if you've got grandkids, if you've got parents, if you've got a car out in the driveway, a house, a payment to make, you can just go on down a list. We can think of things to worry about. I know some people that are professional worriers, you know. There will always be something that we could worry about. So peace, having the peace of Christ, is not contingent on the fact that there'll never be anything to worry about. We can have peace regardless of the situation. We can have, so peace, we have to understand, peace is not absence of worry. Peace is not absence of conflict. Peace is not absent of trouble. Peace is in, you have peace in the middle of trouble. We have peace in the middle of conflict. That's what we're looking at, because Jesus never leaves us. He never forsakes us. No matter where we go, we let His peace rule. Now, I love this word rule. This word rule is, do we have any sports fans here? Anybody like sports? You know, this word for rule in the Greek can be translated as umpire. It can be translated as referee. Isn't that neat? And you know what, as I read this and study this, I get this. Has anybody ever disagreed with a call that a referee or an umpire has made? Anybody ever do that? Yeah, I do every time OU plays OSU. I disagree. OSU has their own umpires, and, you know, they make them awful calls. You know what I'm talking about? No, I'm just kidding you. But it seems like it's even worse when you're watching your own kids or your grandkids play ball. And then the referee steps in and does or doesn't make a call. Then you get upset, right? Then you get upset. But, you know, this is a word that literally means simply to follow peace. That's what it's looking at. That referee or umpire, one of the things that they're there to do is to keep peace in the game. You ever seen a game where there's just a brawl that happens? Oh, yeah, well, you probably, if you've watched sports any, you've watched that baseball, that'll happen. There's just that free-for-all in the middle of the field. And then who's out there? The umps are out there trying to clear it. Well, what Jesus is, he is your what? Your peace. And he is, you're let him rule. And when he is ruling, he is the umpire, he is the referee of our life. We are to follow him. And when we follow him, that peace will rule. We will have peace. And if you're not following his rule for your life, you're not going to have peace. Do you get this? But and one of the questions I'm asked so much is, how can I find God's will in my life? Well, it's pretty simple. You follow the peace. If there's decisions that you have to make, you seek the Lord's wisdom, and if he gives you peace in that, that's a direction knowing that's his will. There's peace to be found there. And whenever you're serving him and you're making decisions that aren't the easiest decisions to make, but yet you follow his rule, his will, and there's peace there, folks, there's no better place than being where he wants you to be. And when you know it, other people may not understand it, but all you can do is say, I have peace in this. You know, I believe today in this place that there may be some that have some big decisions to make here. And if you are, is anybody having big decisions, big things going on in your life right now? And you're saying, man, I'm really wrestling with something. Can you say that? Anybody? I see a couple of hands. I want to pray for you right now. Let's just pray for you. Lord, I pray for these that have raised their hands this morning, that have said that they're wrestling with some life-changing decisions or some big things going on. I pray that you would guide them to follow you and to follow your peace in this decision that they've got to make. I pray that you would, as your scripture says, is to let you rule, that we would relinquish control and follow you in that area, and that, Lord, we wouldn't miss your direction, and that you would give them peace that surpasses all understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, look at what he's saying. He says, let the peace of Christ rule where? Where does it say? What does it say? Go back, if you will, Colossians 3. Could you do that for us, Ted? Where do we let the... In our hearts. You know, whenever you study this and you realize that we're to let this dwell here first, in our own individual heart. If we are not walking in peace with God, doing what Christ has called us individually to do, now this is very important, that means there's going to be turmoil in our own heart. There won't be peace there. Do you get that? If we're not walking according to his rule, there's not going to be peace in our heart. Which therefore means if we come in, we're part of the body of Christ, there's not going to be peace in the body when the members of the body aren't allowing the peace of Christ to rule in their hearts. Do you get it? But whenever we as collective members are following his rule in our life, and we come together as the body of Christ, there will be unity, there will be peace in the body, because we each are following God's plan and God's direction in our lives. So for us to have peace here means we all have a responsibility. You remember, these are the inward things that must take place for the things to happen in verse 14. In 13, for humility and gentleness and meekness, all those things to take place, we have to have peace here. Otherwise, we're not going to exhibit those outward traits. And so, there'll be trouble then. Look at the very next line. In the very next line of this verse, he says, to which. Now, the antecedent of the word which is the word peace. To peace you were called in one body. That's what he's saying here. So it's peace that brings us together. And whenever the body is at peace with one another, folks, I shared last week that incredible things happen. People will want to make this their home because there is peace here. As you look around this world, there's turmoil everywhere you look. I am so tired of seeing news feeds every time I turn around, you know? Everybody's griping about the president. They're griping about this. They're griping about that. You go places and everybody's, you know, there, it seems like there's just turmoil everywhere we turn. This is the place that we're to come and people are to find peace. And whenever the people find peace here, they'll want to be part of this place because there's harmony. Everybody wants to be loved. Amen. I need your love, and you need my love. You may not think you do, but we do. We need love, and we're to meet that with one another. Turn, if you will, to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Ephesians chapter 2. There is a verse in verse 14 where Paul talks about this peace, and I want to look at it here for just a moment. Ephesians 2:14, it says, for he himself is our peace. Who's the he?
Jesus.
Jesus is our what? Our peace. Now look what it goes on and says. Who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. Jesus tore down the walls that separate us, and he brought us together to what? To peace. That's what he brought us together for. He is our peace. He is the one thing, the common thing that brings us together, that joins us together as the body of Christ. And he desires for us to be at peace with one another. But we will not be at peace with one another until we're allowing his peace to reign in our hearts. Does that mean that we're, remember, we talked about, well, there's all this turmoil, there's all these problems going on in the world. It doesn't matter. We can still allow his peace to rule in our hearts. Right? Amen? Sure. And so, you know, he goes on here as you look at it. So he says, that's who you are. And when you let this happen, people are going to be coming to this church and they're going to say, I found my home. I'm loved. Look, go back, if you will, to Colossians 3. I want you to notice something here. For he says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in what? One body. Is the church about you? No. Who is the one body? All of us. We are the body. We are the body. Is everybody important? Yes. Everybody's important. Is one member more important than another? No. We are the body of Christ. Do we love? Are we called to love each other? Yes. You know, you ever pulled out, had that little deal you tell people and they pull out their driver's license? Does anybody here hate your driver's license picture? Anybody? You go in, you sit down, and then they just click. There's no smile, there's no nothing, just click. But you know, you can pull out that driver's license picture. There's reasons why people hate it, for many reasons. Well, I wasn't smiling. You know, I hate my hair there. Whatever. How many, you know, people that just don't like their picture taken, period? You know what I'm talking about? Now, why is that? Why do people not want their picture taken, period? Anybody? That's it. They don't like the way they look. They don't like the way they look. There's not peace that's there. Whatever. You stop and say, well, you know what? I just don't like my toes. You know, my toes look fat. I don't like them. I'm just going to cut them off. Is that what we do? No. Why? They're part of our body. So we're gonna take care of them. We're going to take care of them. You know, there's parts of my body that I've got too much of. But I'm not going to treat it horribly. Why? It's my body. I'm going to take care of it. We're to love each other as part of the body. We're to be at peace. We are called in. Get that? We are called in. Those people that say, you don't need to be part of a church to be a Christian. There are more references like this than you can count in the Bible. If you don't need to be part of a body of believers, why does it say you are called in one body? Do you get it? You are called in one body. That means you are called to be part of a body of believers that assembles to be the church. This building's not the church. The people are the church. We are called to let Christ rule individually, each one of us, as we and rule in our hearts, to which indeed we were called into one another, and be what? Thankful. To be thankful. This word thankful is very interesting to me, because this is a word in the Greek. It's eucharisto. You know where we get the word Eucharist from? Eucharist. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Denise, you come from that background. What does that word remind you of? Communion. It's where we get the Lord's Supper. It's the first word for Lord's Supper, referred to Lord's Supper. And that's where that word comes from. Why? Because whenever people sat down for a meal, they gathered together as the body of Christ, they had something called the love feast, the agape meal. So they would sit down and they would have the agape meal, and that's the group of believers. That's what the Eucharist was. Then they would have the Lord's Supper together. They would break bread from that together, and that's what they would do in the services. Now, in Corinthians, he tells us, Paul says, he says that when we come together as one body, Scripture says that we're to do this, we're to be careful to discern the body. The Lord's Supper is a supper pointing to peace. That's what it's about. That's one of the things that Jesus focused the Lord's Supper and told us to share together. It's to remind us to be at peace with one another as we're at peace with Christ. And then Paul later on said, if you're not careful, you will eat and drink damnation on yourself. And he's saying, if you're not walking at peace with one another, that's what's going to happen. And then he goes on and says, even some of you are sick and dying because you're not recognizing the body of Christ as one. That was what was taking place. So this morning, we're going to have the Lord's Supper. But before we do, maybe for you, you need to prepare yourself. Maybe there's some situations that aren't going right with you and another member of the body. I'm going to ask our musicians to come. We're going to have a time of invitation. Maybe there's some areas there's not peace that's there. And you need to ask Lord God to guide your heart so that your heart can allow you to love them and to guide them and to strengthen those bonds and to bring peace there. Maybe for you today, you just want to come and join this body and say, you know what, I realize I am called to be part of the local body of believers, and I want to be part of this one. We would love you to do so. We're going to have a time of invitation, but let's pray, and then we're going to stand, and we're going to sing a couple of verses, and I want to encourage you to come forward. But maybe for you, you just need to keep praying where you're at. Father, we want to thank you. We want to thank you for being able to be part of the body of Christ. We want to thank you that you desire to reign here and that you've called us to be one. And we come to give thanks to you today. But before we do that, we pray that you would guide us as we do some personal inspection, that you would prepare us in advance for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand.